Welcome to 70s Beatles. I'm Scott.
And I'm Kate.
On this podcast, we take a solo album from each of the former Beatles. Taking turns, we pick songs to fill up what would be our theoretical, hypothetical, what if the Beatles stayed together kind of album. Using John's own suggested template of four songs apiece for George, Paul, and himself, with one or two Ringo tunes, we build out our individual albums. After a month or so, we go back and use Spotify data to calculate the percentage increase in the number of plays for each track. We then total these percentages and see which one of us holds the winning album.
And our newest winner will be announced today. This is the results episode for our fourth batch of albums. The albums we chose our songs from were Red Rose Speedway by Wings, Mind Games by John, Living in the Material World by George, and our fourth group of Ringo singles, including Photograph, You're 16, Down and Out, and Devil Woman. So this was a unique batch in that instead of one Ringo song, we each got two.
So let's recap our picks.
So my album, I named A Single Pigeon in the Material World. I managed to snag, I opened with One More Kiss from Paul, or from Wings, I guess. And then I put in Photograph from Ringo, Intuition from John, Loop from Wings, Give Me Love from George, I Know from John, closed out side one with Single Pigeon from Wings, and then side two was Living in the Material World from George, Win the Night from Wings, Who Can See It from George. I still don't know if I can pronounce this correctly, but like Isumasen, I'm sorry, from John, You're 16 from Ringo. The penultimate song is Mind Games from John, and then I obviously had to close it with George's That Is All.
It's convenient that John's song has I'm Sorry as the subtitle, because yep. It always sounds like you're apologizing for mispronouncing it. Which
for the pronunciation,
yeah,
yep.
We probably did, but that's okay. For my batch of albums this time, I opened with a Big Barn Bed, followed by Tight As, then the Sue Me, Sue You Blues, Down and Out. And after a strong batch of rocking numbers, we get our first ballad with My Love, followed by You Are Here, Don't Wait Too Long. On side two, we start out with Little Lamb Dragonfly, Out of the Blue, Be Here Now, Devil Woman, Get On the Right Thing, Try Some, Buy Some, and then closing out with Meat City. It's definitely an easier listen than the last batch of albums, but I don't think it holds together nearly as well. It feels a lot more scattered than the last few batches, even the weirdness of the batch before this.
Yeah, I have to agree. That's an interesting point. I definitely felt that way when I was kind of trying to put together the track list, like put one song after the other. I definitely felt like there was more struggle with trying to make these pieces kind of fit together. I think overall, like song by song, they're better songs than our last batch. Like if you pull a random song off the list, it's going to be an easier listen than some of the ones from sometime in New York City. But they definitely are more distinct album to album. So it's tougher to make them fit into like this, like a cohesive Beatles album this time around.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely trying to get a more like rockin' bluesy album, and frankly, you couldn't tell by just listening. You'd have to go back to our episode, which you should listen to our previous episode and, you know, listen to all of our albums. Check out the Spotify playlist linked in the episode's notes. And you can track the Spotify data along with us. We've even linked our tracker in the episode notes. So, you know, we thought of everything for you guys. Everything.
You're welcome. So in this results episode, we're going to, of course, announce our Spotify data winner. We're also going to get into some fun data. We'll talk about like the top performing song for each respective Beatle and the top three performing songs overall. Also kind of comparing this batch of songs to our previous batches. And then we will end it all out with a segment called Beatles in the News, which talks about any Beatles news that have come up since we last recorded. So without further ado, let's get into it. Scott, would you like to announce our winner?
Well, yes. Just for those of you out there who were thinking the game was rigged because I won the last two, Kate actually won this batch of songs with a score of 189.88 to my 181.29. So now we're tied up we're even at two batches apiece now. So the next batch will definitely be the tiebreaker for the time being.
Yeah, it's a nail biter. But yes, I finally caught up after two consecutive wins from Scott, which I was very happy for you for. I have finally caught up. And it's a pretty solid, there's a pretty solid margin there. Is that the biggest margin that we've had so far? I feel like the other ones have been pretty close.
Yeah, this might be our biggest, which it still is, you know, 188 to 181 or something. But, you know, it still is the biggest gap we've had. So I think overall, you're still fairly clearly in the lead.
So before we get into the top performers, let's clarify what we mean by top performers. We mean these songs that had the most Spotify plays over an allotted period of time. Scott, you want to do just a quick like overview of how we calculate that percentage?
Yeah, usually when we record one episode, we write down the Spotify plays for each song on each album, and then we go back and check it 4 weeks, almost exactly 4 weeks later, to see whose songs have performed the most over that time period. It's not necessarily the songs that have performed the most total, but the performed the biggest percentage increase, which is why for our top songs this round, we have John has One Day at a Time, which grew 2 percentage points. Paul's One More Kiss, which jumped up 2.37. George, Don't Let Me Wait Too Long, went up 1.82. And Ringo's Fabulous, Down and Out, went up 1.08. Poor Ringo. Even his best songs are not performing that well.
I'm surprised that it's Down and Out, yeah, not Photograph. And then the George one surprises me too, like Don't Let Me Wait Too Long over. I mean, there are some singles on this batch that are like well known in his discography, and obviously like...
Yeah, no, this whole batch of albums had like one big strong song and a lot of, shall we say, hidden gems on it. And
yes,
none of the big song actually ended up being the winner this time around.
Yeah, yeah. And we have seen that like in our past batches, like one of the big singles. But it's not always, I guess, because of the way that we do the stats, you know, like it's not the most number of plays. It's like how much did this song grow?
Yeah, which may be why something like Down and Out gets to jump up, because it only had, you know, 8,000 as opposed to 800,000, so.
Yeah. So our top songs overall across all of the batches that we've talked about, so we're on round four now, so we've done the four first couple of albums from John and Paul, and then if you've listened to our past episodes, we broke up George's All Things Must Pass into three discs, so we've done three discs of All Things Must Pass, plus the second album, Living in the Material World. And then a number of Ringo singles. But our top songs are the same. Number one is Ram On Reprise, which has a 3% increase. Number two is Hold On from John, 2.44% increase. And then number three is The Ballad of Sir Frankie Crisp, Let It Roll, with a 2.44% increase. Although that one is, oh yeah, tied with Hold On above it.
I mean, the last batch of songs with, you know, Wildlife and Sometime in New York City.
Yeah.
Was not expecting any of them to break through. But I'm kind of surprised nothing from this batch broke through the top three either. So
yeah.
Maybe the next batch. Stay tuned for next, you know, month's episode, because we got some big albums coming up.
Yeah.
And speaking of albums, we got the top album increases overall. It's a long list, but we'll say that Red Rose Speedway came in second, just below Ram. Red Rose Speedway increased 1.58% overall. Living in the Material World actually came in fifth, tied with Plastic Ono Band with a 1.40% increase. So that is good to see.
Yeah, we have a pop-up from our... We haven't had a... I feel like... because I know we've been covering certain albums, but we haven't had one that we've covered recently like pop up in the top in a while, so that's cool to see.
Yeah, so that's probably the... I was surprised how well Red Rose Speedway showed up. I mean, it's not exactly one of McCartney's best known ones, but it got a lot of love this month for whatever reason, so
yeah,
good for you, Paul.
Yeah.
Let's see, Ringo's singles came in at 0.96%, getting them number 12, and Mind Games came in 8th at 1.18%.
So we also have an interactive poll up on the website and the Facebook group to see which songs are most popular with our listeners. So what you guys have written in and told us for our second batch, we've got votes for, this is, okay, for John's Women is the N-word of the world. So someone picked that. I would like to know the reasoning. Just curious. Paul's Bip Bop. George's I Remember Jeep. Okay. And no Ringo votes. And our closing out segment, I Read the News Today. Oh boy. We've got some Beatles announcements. So like things that have been in the news recently. We talked on the last results episode that Disney or Apple or whoever handles the IP for the Beatles, it might be both, is doing 4 Beatles biopics, 1 for each Beatle. So they actually announced the casting for that, which is something that we had kind of speculated on in the last episode. We were wondering, like, is it going to be one group of people, or are they going to have like different people for every movie? Are they going to age, et cetera, et cetera? But it looks like we have some answers. So John is going to be played by Harris Dickinson. He is known for a 2017 movie called Beach Rats. He was also most recently in The Iron Claw, which I saw was pretty good. He played David Von Erickson back in 2023. Paul is going to be played by Paul Mescal, who is mostly known for the show Normal People, which I haven't seen, but I think it's a pretty popular show. George is going to be played by Charlie Rowe, who I have never heard of. I think that he is... Oh, he was in Rocket Man. He wasn't Elton John, but he was a side character in Rocket Man. And then he was also in Angeline in 2022. So that's kind of what he's known for. And then finally, Ringo is going to be played by Barry... I'm going to butcher this, maybe. Barry Keoghan? I should know that because... Or I should know his pronunciation. He has been all over the news and, like, the pop culture lately because he recently started dating Sabrina Carpenter. And he was in her music video, and it was a whole thing. My, like, friends on Instagram were going crazy over it. He was also in Saltburn, which was a pretty popular movie from last year, I think.
I find it amusing that the biggest, most famous actor in the group is the one playing Ringo, but you know.
Yeah. Wait, that's so funny. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Of course, I mean, we all know the best cast for the Beatles would be Paul Rudd, Jack Black, Justin Long, and Jason Schwartzman, but we would never get something that lucky.
That would be great. Yeah. I mean, we can hope.
Yes. Oh, and speaking of news we announced last time, we did announce that the Beatles Cirque du Soleil show Love is ending July 6th, so after this airs. But I couldn't resist and ended up flying out to Vegas and going to see it in the now closed Mirage. And it was, well, to put it mildly, something. It was amazing. I feel bad that I don't get to go back because I feel like no matter what I was focusing on, there was something else happening in the corner of my eye that I also was equally cool that I couldn't pay attention to. So it was, I mean, the audience was having a great time, particularly one guy a couple rows in front of us who's dressed up in like hippie Grateful Dead regalia who had ingested something illegal, if not several somethings illegal, and was just dancing and tripping and having the time of his life. I was glad to see him enjoying himself. I was glad to see that we weren't seated right next to him. So, nice. But it was an amazing show, and I would recommend going to see it, but you can't. So you can listen to the album. That's something at least.
Are they singing or are they playing the music?
It's a weird mashup because, I mean, it clearly was conceived when Glee was huge and mashups were popular. So, you know, there's like the drum track from Drive My Car playing while the bass line from What Goes On and Paul's vocals from Helter Skelter are all sort of, you know, twiddled a bit so they fit together. And it's really cool and it's really interesting. It's almost like Name That Beatles Tune.
Oh, nice.
Happening simultaneously. So, I mean, I think the album is available on Spotify, so give it a listen. I mean, they play nearly the entire thing of Sun King backwards for you, if that's what you want. But it is... It was super cool. It was super interesting. I mean, they didn't have a plot per se, but there were certain characters who recurred around, and they used like bits of chatter from the studio recording sessions because, you know, it was George and Giles Martin who put together the soundtrack, so they had access to that. So there's like bits of the Beatles actually talking, I mean, in the show. So that it was just, you know, it's a Cirque du Soleil show. So it's an event and a spectacle, but it's also got cool music. So
yeah,
I'm glad I got to see it.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I'm sad that I won't get to see it probably before it closes a week from now. What was your favorite part, like favorite song, favorite performance, or what sticks out in your memory?
Oh, I think the best one is they took that acoustic solo guitar demo that George did of While My Guitar Gently Weeps, and before George Martin passed, he scored a like string arrangement to go on top of it. So there's this like dancing ballerina, and these half visible sheets come down, and they have like a light show playing like silhouetted people that look like they're dancing with her. I cannot do it justice, but it was amazing to watch, and it's got to have taken forever to get that time just perfectly.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds amazing. Did they have I haven't been to the circus in a long time, but I know they have the cage where like the motorcycles go in a circle and the.
They didn't have the motor cage. They did have, for the song Help, they had guys in rollerblades and a couple half pipes doing tricks. So that was something.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, Paul McCartney recently popped up in the news because he went to Taylor Swift's concert in London. So it was very cute because I don't really keep up with Taylor Swift much, but I follow some like Paul McCartney fan accounts, and it was like a video of him walking through the crowd at the Taylor Swift concert, and he's like, you know, he's waving to fans, he's having a good time. He had like those little beaded friendship bracelets on his wrist, and I saw like one clip where I can't remember who it was, but he was watching the concert with somebody next to him, some other celebrity, and he was like showing off his little friendship bracelets. Very precious.
Yeah, it was definitely, the video went around and there were definitely two different reactions to it. You know, one's like, boy, Paul McCartney's really getting into this weirdo songs, and the other is, who's this old guy at the Taylor Swift concert?
So. Yeah. And then recently I just stumbled across this article where it mentions that Paul McCartney has become, from May 17th, the first UK billionaire musician, because he saw his wealth increase by £50 million last year.
That's, yeah, I'm lucky if I get 50 pounds, you know, well, not after the buffets in Vegas, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah, which is nuts. And I wonder if the Beatles didn't sell their rights last year, because, you know, there was like the Get Back documentary. But I do wonder, because I do feel like they're kind of sending other people to do things with the Beatles, you know, catalog with Now and Then, and then like Get Back, and then all these movies and stuff. I wonder if that has kind of contributed to his increase last year. Although I don't know, like, it says he made £50 million last year. I don't know how much he made the year before that. I just know he's been touring for forever. So I'm like, what was the increase? But then also, like, he's been doing this for a long time. So maybe it just kind of was timing, you know?
Yeah, just interest. He invested well, I think. But yeah, there has been a lot of Beatles stuff lately. So that probably helped add to his bank account as well. So he is a rich man, but, you know, that's about all the news we've got currently, because, you know, I'm sure Paul will be announcing a new tour soon, and I think Ringo's doing a Vegas residency at some point, and we'll keep you up to date with the Beatle biopics. If I wouldn't hold my breath, those will probably be like 2027, but they will happen eventually.
Yes, they're happening, which is so exciting. I'm super excited. So as we mentioned previously, we have a exciting couple of albums coming up in round five. Scott, would you like to give us a little preview?
Well, we got John Lennon's Walls and Bridges, one of his first truly solo albums without Yoko Ono, which contains his first number one single, Whatever Gets You Through the Night. So that's a nice step up from Mind Games. We got Paul's first commercially successful album with Wings, which doesn't contain a lot of Wings because most of them quit before, but it, oddly enough, cemented Wings as a commercial force to be reckoned with. So we got Band on the Run, another step up. We got a definite step down for George as he rushed through the recording of a album for a tour that did not go well because he had laryngitis. So there's that album, Dark Horse. And we got two singles from Ringo, one from the Ringo album and one from the next album, Goodnight Vienna. So we'll be discussing those, and you should listen up on them before the next album or the next episode drops so that you know what we're talking about.
Yes. I am so excited for this upcoming batch. I think this might be one of my favorites because, like, this is a behemoth of an album from Wings, Band on the Run. Like, this is probably the most recognizable album in Paul's solo career. So excited to get into that. And then Walls and Bridges is my personal favorite John album.
It will definitely be the best batch of albums since, like, the first two, I think.
And then Dark Horse, you know, it has such an interesting story. Like, for, you know, the album is what it is and it sounds like it sounds, but everything that kind of surrounds the album, I think, like, we're going to get to talk about the tour and, like, the articles that came out, and it's just a very, like, rich, I feel like, piece of history. So this is a really exciting batch that we have coming up, I think.
It's definitely the strongest batch of music we've had since, like, the first two batches. So I'm looking forward to listening to them.
Yeah.
I mean, listening to George's, you would think half his band quit right before he left to some foreign land that he was unfamiliar with and then got mugged, but it wasn't him.
All right. So join us next month when we release batch number 5. Scott, you want to close us out?
Yeah. So tune in, subscribe, drop out, smash that like button, do whatever you need to do, and we'll see you next month.
Bye.
Bye.